Welcome to the Best of Redmond. I'm Jennifer Davis.
And I'm Dan Schultz, and this is Redmond's twice-weekly newsletter and podcast about all of the amazing things happening in Redmond for the next 7 days. So, Jennifer, our top story, we talked about how Redmond is becoming a space district
yes.
a few episodes ago.
Very much so, yeah.
And as you know, everyone's talking space now because a few days ago, NASA wrapped up the Artemis II mission, sending a crew around the moon for the first time since Apollo and bringing them back, after 10 days. That's the headline, but here's the part most people miss. Redmond is now the leading satellite hub in the world.
No, really?
With local companies producing over half of the satellites currently in orbit.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And with projects like Project Kuiper and Starlink based here, that number could very easily hit 75% soon. It's kind of wild that this is happening all right here.
Well, that's great for the Redmond economy, and it really speaks to the innovation and technology that we have going on here in this part of the world.
Except for you and I, a lot of talent in this town, Jennifer.
There's a student improv show happening Sunday, April 19th, from 7 to 8:15 at Adair Cabin in Anderson Park. This is Eastside Improv's goodbye show for the cabin, so it's kind of a last chance to see a performance in that space. The cast is made up of newer performers, and they run everything off audience suggestions, so it's different every time. It's also family-friendly, so you can bring kids without worrying about it getting too weird. Show up a little early to grab a good seat.
If you're like me, Jennifer, and you're into Magic the Gathering, there's a pre-release event Saturday, April 18th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Uncle's Games in the Redmond Town Center. You can get yourself a pre-release pack with 6 booster packs, a promo card, and a spin-down die. Then build a deck on the spot using only what you open. Everyone's on equal footing here, ironically, except me. I don't know what's going on in this. It's part competition, part hangout, but it's very fun. If you haven't played in a while, or like me, and you've never played at all, it's probably a pretty easy way to jump into the game.
There's a dog-friendly wine and cookie tasting Friday, April 17th, from 7 to 9 at Pickles.
Let me guess. Pickles, I knew it.
Yeah,
I knew it.
You knew you did know it. At Pickles Playland in Kirkland. It's exactly what it sounds like. Wine pairings, Girl Scout cookies, and a bunch of dogs running around while people hang out and drink wine. It's 21 plus only, and your dog needs to be cool with other dogs and people. This is one of those events where you mostly go for the vibe, so make sure you reserve a spot before showing up.
There's a free talk on Wednesday, April 15th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the Redmond Senior and Community Center about the history of soccer in the Northwest. Two local experts are walking through how the game's grown here and what's changed since the last time the World Cup was in the U.S. They're doing light snacks and some prize drawings, so it's not just a lecture. If you're even a little curious about soccer, or as they call it, football, this is a very easy way to drop into it.
There's a mystery book club meeting Wednesday, April 15th, from 6:30 to 7:30 at Brick and Mortar Books. This month, they're talking about The Botanist's Assistant by Peggy Townsend, and it leans toward that cozy mystery vibe. It's open to anyone, so you don't have to be a regular or anything like that. They keep it pretty low-key and conversational. If you've been meaning to get out and meet people without it feeling forced, this is a solid option.
There's a music-based workshop Friday, April 17th from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. at the Redmond Library, focused on using music for creativity and reflection. A board-certified music therapist leads the session, mixing guided listening, storytelling, and writing prompts. It's designed for adults 55 and older, and you don't need any musical background to participate. It's more about the connection and expression than performance. If you know someone in that age group, this could be a great fit for them.
It's time for the Redmond History Minute, where we share an interesting piece of history, trivia, or tidbit about life in and around Redmond. Okay, Dan, so here's your question. From 1934 to 1976, thousands of spectators lined the Sammamish River to watch speedbase. Oh, God, I'm having like aphasia. I really have to go. Okay, Dan, so from 1934 all the way till 1976, thousands of spectators lined the Sammamish River to watch speedboat races. How many turns did the 13-mile course have? Your choices are A, 12 turns, B, 28 turns, C, 63 turns, or D, 107 turns. And your time starts now.
I don't know what that means. So they had a speedboat race. How many turns did they have?
On the 13-mile course, yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's good. 13-mile course. Oh, this is simple. My final answer, without a doubt, 28 turns. B, I'm locked in 100% positive.
Well, I mean, you were very close. It wasn't B. The answer is C, 63 turns. Before Seafair, the Sammamish Slough Race was the event. Boats were hitting 80 to 100 miles per hour on a course with 63 turns, dodging logs and bridge pilings the whole way. At its peak, around 40,000 people showed up to watch from the riverbanks. It all ended in 1976 after a boat jumped the bank and injured a University of Washington pole vaulter, which is a very specific way for something like that to end. I hope the guy was okay, but I'm sorry.
Was the guy in the midair?
That's what I imagined. He's pole vaulting. They're both, it's a midair collision. All joking aside, the guy was fine, but it did end the race, as it sounds like a pretty dangerous thing to do.
Word is Redmond rumor mill.
Jennifer, what do the rumor birds, what do your little gossip birdies tell you this week?
So here's one that keeps popping up in conversations. Apparently, there's a World Cup viewing beer garden being planned somewhere near Marymore Park for summer 2026. We're hearing outdoor screens, rotating food trucks, fire pits, the whole setup, and possibly turning it into a permanent spot if it takes off. The thing is, none of that has been officially confirmed, and no one's saying exactly who's behind it. So our question is, where exactly would they even put something like this? If you've got a guess or have heard something, head on over to our Facebook page at facebook.com/bestofredmond and drop it in the Redmond Rumor Mill Guesses post.
We're looking for your pick, Redmond. We want to know what you think is the best dog park in Redmond. Head on over to our Facebook page at facebook.com/bestofredmond. Find the post called Your Picks and drop your vote in the comments.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you're going to love our companion newsletter. Find it at bestofredmond.com. And we'll see you in the next one.
Or maybe before then, walking around Redmond.